Chapter 45. Then Agloshi walked over to me and stood there, smiling, as its inhuman features shifted and contorted from something bestial back toward something almost human. It probably made it easier to talk.
"That was hardly pathetic at all," it murmured. "Who gifted you with the life fire, little mortal?"
"Doubt you know him," I responded. It was an effort to speak, but I was used to meeting the rigorous demands of life as a reflexive smartass. "He'd have taken you out." The skinwalker's smile widened.
"I find it astonishing that you could call forth the very fires of creation, and yet have no faith with which to employ them."
"Hell's bells," I muttered. "I get sick of sadistic twits like you." It tilted its head. It dragged its claws idly across the stone, sharpening them.
"Oh?"
"You like seeing someone dangling on a hook," I said. "It gets you off. And once I'm dead, the fun's over. So you feel like you have to drag things out with a conversation."
"Are you so eager to leave life, mortal?" the Nagloshi purred.
"If the alternative is hanging around here with you, I sure as hell am," I replied. "Get it over with or buzz off." Its claws moved, pure serpentine speed, and my face suddenly caught on fire. It hurt too much to scream. I doubled up, clutching my hands at the right side of my face, and felt my teeth grinding together.
"As you wish," the Nagloshi said.
It leaned closer.
"But let me leave you with this thought, little spirit caller. You think you've won a victory by taking the phage from my hands, but he was hanging meat for me for more than a day, and I left nothing behind. You don't have words for the things I did to him."
I could hear its smile widening.
"It is starving, mad with hunger. And I smell a young female caller inside the hogan," it purred. "I was considering throwing the phage inside with her before you so kindly saved me the bother. Meditate upon that on your way to eternity."
Even through the pain and the fear, my stomach twisted into frozen knots. Oh, God. Molly. I couldn't see out of my right eye, and I couldn't feel anything but pain. I turned my head far to the right so that my left eye could focus on the Nagloshi crouching over me, its long fingers tipped with bloodied black claws, twitching in what was an almost sexual anticipation. I didn't know if anyone had ever thrown a death curse backed by soul fire. I didn't know if using my own soul as fuel for a final conflagration would mean that it never went to wherever it is souls go once they're finished here. I just knew that no matter what happened, it wasn't going to hurt for much longer, and that I wanted to wipe that grin off the skinwalker's face before I went. I wasn't sure how defiant you could look with a one-eyed stare, but I did my best, even as I prepared the blast that would burn the life from my body as I unleashed it. Then there was a blur of light, and something darted past the Nagloshi's back. It tensed and let out a snarl of surprise, whirling away from me to stare after the source of light. Its back, I saw, bore a long and shallow wound, straight across its hunched shoulders, as narrow and fine as if cut by a scalpel. Or a box knife. Toot Toot whirled about in midair, a bloodied utility knife clutched in one hand like a spear. He lifted a tiny trumpet to his lips and piped out a shrill challenge, the notes of a cavalry charge in high-pitched miniature.
"Avant, villain!"
he cried in a shrill, strident tone, then he darted at the skinwalker again. The Nagloshi roared and swept out a claw, but Toot evaded the blow and laid a 9-inch-long slice up the skinwalker's arm. It whirled on the tiny fairy in a sudden fury, its form shifting, becoming more feline, though it kept the long forelimbs. It pursued Toot, claws snatching, but my miniature captain of the guard was always a hair's breadth ahead.
Toot!
I called as loudly as I was able. Get out of there! Then Agloshi spat out an acidic-sounding curse as Toot avoided its claws again and slapped a hand at the air itself, hissing out words in an alien tongue. The wind rose in a sudden, spiteful little gale, and it hammered Toot's tiny body from the air. He crashed into a patch of blackberry bushes at the edge of the clearing, and the sphere of light around him winked out with a dreadfully sudden finality. Then Agloshi turned, kicking dirt back toward the fallen fairy with its hind legs. Then it stalked toward me again, seething in fury. I watched him come, knowing that there was nothing I could do. At least I'd gotten Thomas away from the bastard. Then Agloshi's yellow eyes burned with hate as it closed the distance and lifted its claws.
Hey, said a quiet voice. Ugly.
I turned and stared across the small clearing at the same time the skinwalker did. I don't know how Injun Joe managed to get through the ring of attackers and to the summit of the hill, but he had. He stood there in moccasins, jeans, and a buckskin shirt decorated with bone beads and bits of turquoise. His long, silver hair hung in its customary braid, and the bone beads of his necklace gleamed pale in the night's gloom. Then Agloshi faced the medicine man without moving. The hilltop was completely silent and still. Then, Listens to Wind smiled. He hunkered down and rubbed his hands in some mud and loose earth that lightly covered the rocky summit of the hill. He cupped his hands, raised them to just below his face, and inhaled through his nose, breathing in the scent of the earth. Then he rubbed his hands slowly together, the gesture somehow reminding me of a man preparing to undertake heavy, routine labor. He rose to his feet again and said calmly,
Mother says you have no place here.
Then Agloshi bared its fangs. Its growl prowled around the hilltop like a beast unto itself. Lightning flashed overhead with no accompanying rumble of thunder. It cast a harsh, eerily silent glare down on the skinwalker. Listens to Wind turned his face up to the skies and cocked his head slightly.
Father says you are ugly, he reported.
He narrowed his eyes and straightened his shoulders, facing the Nagloshi squarely as thunder rolled over the island, lending a monstrous growling undertone to the old man's voice.
I give you this chance. Leave. Now.
The skinwalker snarled.
Old spirit caller, the failed guardian of a dead people, I do not fear you.
Maybe you should, Listens to Wind said. The boy almost took you, and he doesn't even know the Dine, much less the old ways. Begone. Last chance.
Then Agloshi let out a warbling growl as its body changed, thickening, growing physically thicker, more powerful looking.
You are not a holy man. You do not follow the blessing way. You have no power over me.
Don't plan to bind or banish you, old ghost, Injun Joe said. Just gonna kick your ass up between your ears.
He clenched his hands into fists and said,
Let's go.